Some special Pokemon were given away with exclusive moves that you couldn't obtain in the game normally. These Pokemon would be distributed through various partner stores like Toys R Us, GameStop, and even McDonald's. This, of course, sounds like a fun idea, until you realize that, at least in the early days of the internet, there was a good chance that you would miss these events because you either simply didn't know about them, or even if you did, they weren't available in your state, or even your country, like the Japan exclusive events. Which is crazy because some of these event Pokemon are broken and change competitive Pokemon forever. And we're going to look at the top 5 most impactful events that changed competitive history. And we're starting off with one of those Japan exclusive events with V-Create Rayquaza. To start our list, we decided to pick the Pokemon who was already godlike to begin with, and then received the new form so broken that a new tiering system had to be created, as it was powerful enough to make most Pokemon and Ubers feel like Electivire in Gen 4 OU. Mega Rayquaza is without a doubt one of the most broken Pokemon of all time, and one of the most controversial, getting banned from the ban list in singles and acquiring a world championship in VGC. Historically, Rayquaza has always been known to be an incredibly hard hitter with its access to extreme speed, powerful dragon moves like Outrage and Dragon Claw, and its bewilderingly named flying type stab Dragon Ascent when it achieved Mega Evolution. Although Rayquaza could always rip teams into shreds if set up correctly, it had one big problem that it had to get through: steel types. In order to chew through an opposing team's steel type, Rayquaza had to opt for a mixed set that increased its physical power in order to compensate for coverage. While this was a good enough surprise option, it also allowed players to handle it on the physical side with a bit more ease. Or at least that's how it was until Rayquaza flexed its popularity on everyone. In 2012, Rayquaza won the official Pokemon popularity poll, and Game Freak rewarded Rayquaza by giving it access to Victini's signature move, V-Create. This specific Rayquaza was distributed at level 100 exclusively at the Pokemon centers in Japan. And thank goodness for simulators, because being an American competitive player and a teenager with no money, there's no way I or many other players could even use this Rayquaza otherwise. They gave a 180 battle power physical fire move to the scariest physical sweeper in the game because it was also the most popular one. Lord Arceus truly has its favorites. The extra threat of this coverage elevated Rayquaza in a way that had never been before in the Ubers metagame. And when it was able to achieve Mega Evolution in 2014 through the release of Oras, it was a huge contributor in the extinction of absolutely everything. Not even the newly introduced fairy type was enough to deal with this, as they would quickly evaporate to Dragon Ascent, and steel type stood zero chance thanks to the addition of V-Create. This event move just added fuel to the fire that was ignited in the community once Mega Rayquaza got banned, and it kept regular Rayquaza as a relevant force for years to come, never once dropping from Ubers, even in the wake of insanely powerful fairy types like Xerneas, Fluttermane, and Zacian. V-Create's effect let Rayquaza create W's more than most Pokemon in competitive history, and it would have been sad for Victini to share its signature move and have no success from it. But luckily, our next Pokemon is Glaciate Volt Strike Victini. Victini is also one of the few Pokemon that have been blessed by the existence of event moves. This makes sense as well when you consider that Victini's status as a mythical Pokemon started with its release in one of the first mass-produced online events in Pokemon history. Victini was able to be obtained at Liberty Garden with a Wi-Fi event in 2010 with the release of Pokemon Black and White, and available once more in March of 2011 due to the Western release of Black and White. Victini's original in-game location, Pokedex number, and the etymology of its name suggests that Game Freak wanted to welcome players into the new generation with a smile and victory. And boy, did they do that right. Victini was an incredible Pokemon from the get-go, but the overall power creep and weather wars that happened in Black and White competitive at the time turned Victini's potential dominance into an underdog story. That is until the Victini event dropped. In what was a modus operandi for Game Freak at the time, they released a Victini that ruined the holidays for those who had to face it, and made the players who obtained it feel like they got the greatest gift. In 2012, winter season, Victini obtained the signature moves of Kyurem, Zekrom, and Reshiram, Bolt Strike, Blue Flare, and Glaciate. Victini, who had been an adorable gremlin with the ability to do great fire damage, had now become an adorable gremlin who is able to cast Thundaga, Blazaga, and Faraga to vanquish any opposition. That water type that you were going to check it with, Bolt Stricken. That ground type that you were going to throw at Victini, frozen by Glaciate. Bolt Beam has been regarded as a longtime piece of perfect coverage for any Pokemon that can access it, and Victini got a monster roided out version of it, backed up by its incredible stats and fire move pull, while its ability Victory Star made less accurate moves more accurate, which meant that there was virtually zero downside for the havoc that Victini unleashed for years to come. Without these tools, Victini could have ended up irrelevant and forgotten, like its Unovan pal Meloetta, but with them, Victini stayed in the upper tiers for as long as Game Freak invited it back to the Pokedex. Truly a legendary choice for its event move, and at least this one was more obtainable than V-Create Rayquaza due to it being a Wi-Fi event. Our next next one is similarly obtainable if you have the money to buy a spin-off game, that is. I'm of course talking about Eruption Heatran. Throughout all of Pokemon's history, few have been as powerful and consistent as Heatran, with its superb Fire Steel typing, access to the valuable Flash Fire, and incredible strength and bulk. Heatran has become a relevant force that has managed to adapt to every single threat that each generation of Pokemon battling has thrown its way. It has remained an OU staple for every generation of Pokemon that it has made an appearance in, and only really dropped to UU in tiering in Gen 9, the most recent and brutally power-crept generation in history, and even then it retains its OU relevance as it's always a valuable choice when team building. Heatran's only real shortcoming is the 4 move slot syndrome. It can do almost everything, but it can't really do everything at once. Its choice of a fire move always led it to the difficult choice of power versus accuracy versus utility. Want an accurate move? Flamethrower, but the damage will be missing. Want power? Fire Blast, but then accuracy will be a pain, and even its signature Magma Storm served as a compromise of both, with an added ability to trap. Heatran needed something more in order to truly bring the pain to its opposition. It was already excellent, but it always felt like it was ready to erupt some more damage. Erupt damage? A Pokemon who literally only lives inside volcanoes? Where is this access to eruption? These are all questions that Gen 4 players asked themselves for years. But then suddenly, the answer was revealed. Eruption Heatran was given out as an event contained inside Pokemon Ranger Guardian Signs. And speaking of Pokemon Ranger, if I may go on a tangent, I'm glad that the Pokemon Ranger games also made Darkrai easier to obtain, because I missed the Toys R Us Alamos Darkrai event when I was a kid, and I'm still salty about it to this day. I found out about it on YouTube months after its conclusion from an old school PokeTuber named Pokemon Blogger, who filmed himself sitting in Toys R Us for hours farming those Darkrai. As a kid, I also really wanted to do that. Shoutouts to the Pokemon Blogger. Anyways, access to this move completely flipped the passive tanky use that Heatran had grown accustomed to for many years, and instead turned it into a fiery behemoth. Eruption turned Heatran's greatest weakness into its greatest strength. Even if you weren't packing the move, you could bluff it in order to make your trapping or defensive sets better, and vice versa. Facing a Heatran meant that you had to guess, and if you guessed wrong, you were going to lose a Pokemon, or 6. Part of its success generally is how hard a Specs Eruption can blast your Pokemon if you made the wrong move. This event was also one of the first widely accessible events in Pokemon history, making many players offline and online succeed in singles and doubles formats. Eruption Heatran has an incredible amount of VGC accolades, and is arguably one of the poster boys for competitive Pokemon. And it really seems like Game Freak loves giving new toys to Fire-type, because our next Pokemon on our list is Flare Blitz Entei, but also Aura Sphere Raikou and Nastyplot Leaf Storm Celebi. And look, I know it's cheating to call this a list of 5 Pokemon when one of the slots has 3 of them, but we grouped these 3 together because not only did they all come from the same place, GameStop, all 3 also triggered in-game events in the Gens 4 and 5 games. These moves in particular took their respective Pokemon to the moon like GameStop stocks. Entei is the most unique case in the history of event moves, as it was blessed by Game Freak not only once, but twice, and both blessings have seen a dramatic shift in its competitive viability. The second time would of course be the additions to Sacred Fire and the buffs to its ability Inner Focus, but before all of that, the first time it happened was on August 30th, 2010, when a shiny Entei with Flare Blitz and Extreme Speed was distributed at GameStop along with its fellow legendary beasts. At the time, Entei was languishing in irrelevance for the Diamond and Pearl metagame without barely having a presence in the NU metagame. Although its attack was much larger than its special attack, due to the lack of resources in its move pool, Entei mostly served as a special attacker, and a bad one at that. How could a legendary Pokemon be tiered below Lantern? The movie giveaway changed Entei's life for the better, as it gained access to Flare Blitz, a devastating physical fire move that was enough to breathe new life into Entei like Ho-Oh once did. It was now a terrifying choice bandit threat in the UU metagame, and even made the occasional appearance from time to time in OU if you really wanted to. This change was an important one for Entei, as it solved its core issue, but there were still many others present. Taking 25% damage from Stealth Rock was still not great, and its coverage was less than stellar, as it also provided no additional threat other than its power, and recoil quickly added up. So Flare Blitz managed to give it a spotlight, but it wasn't the only one of its legendary trio to get it. Entei's sibling Raikou was given Aura Sphere and Extreme Speed in the same 2011 GameStop event, and this was due to the release of the movie Phantom Champion Zoroark, as when you transfer this Raikou and the rest of the legendary beasts from the same giveaway to the Gen 5 games, an in-game event would trigger where Zoroark pretends to be one of the 3 legendary beasts. This event, however, was not the reason GameStop stocks went to the moon for the first time, but rather the utility that Aura Sphere let Raikou enjoy in Generations 4 and beyond. Aura Sphere allowed Raikou to threaten many popular specially defensive walls like Blitz
the Anti-Ranitar, while providing extremely useful coverage against popular Steel, Rock, and sometimes even Dark Pokemon that stood in its path. Aura Sphere became a staple of Triple Attack Calm Mind Raikou throughout the generations, providing a coverage tool that seemed tailor-made to combat the defensive threats that previously laughed at Raikou in every tier he was present in. In Gen 7, it even combined its Aura Sphere with Fight EMZ in order to obliterate B-switch-ins like Snorlax, Registeel, and Rhyperior that it frequently had to fight against in the RU tier, where it was a dominant force. As for Suicune, although it did get access to Air Slash, it was already an absolutely dominant force in every metagame that it was present in, so the event blessings Raikou and Entei received certainly felt more impactful. The legendary trio from Johto wasn't the only one to get new toys for Christmas from Papa Game Freak, though. There was one more legendary from Gen 2 that got an incredible buff. Much like the interactive event that triggered when sending the legendary dogs from Gen 4 games to Gen 5, Nastyplot Celebi also triggered an event in both the Gen 5 and Gen 4 games. This Celebi event was a memorable one for sure, as it confirmed the relation between Giovanni and Silver, and tied loose ends as to where Team Rocket's boss Giovanni was during the Gen 2 story. It is also remembered by many fans as one of the most somber events in Pokemon history, as it heavily implies that Giovanni used self-destruct and became a ghost-type Pokemon within the event's continuity. World-building aside, Nastyplot Celebi was capable of world-destroying instead, typically known as a passive wall that would wear down opposing Pokemon with a combination of Recover and Leech Seed. Nastyplot turned Celebi into an immediate threat. Suddenly, Heatran wasn't a reliable switch-in anymore, as it got blasted by Earth Power, along with other Steel-types like Jirachi and Metagross, and any Pokemon taking neutral damage from Leaf Storm was going to be KO'd. Celebi's 100 across-the-board stats meant it was also really hard to kill due to its natural bulk and access to Recovery. The customizable moveset that Celebi had access to also made it quite difficult to figure out, which let its other variants shine even more in the face of uncertainty. All Celebi needed was one Nastyplot to go off in order to start annihilating the opponent's team. Nastyplot was so good, in fact, that after Generations 4 and 5, where Celebi could play a more passive role, it became its go-to set for competitive gameplay, making Celebi the only Pokemon that has ever come to be defined by its access to an event move. But our last Pokemon on this list, however, defined not only event moves, but all of competitive Pokemon history with its presence. I am, of course, talking about Wish Blissey. Finally, we move on to the most relevant and controversial of every event move mentioned in this list. Meet Wish Blissey and Chansey. Chansey's ability to learn Wish is from a one-time only New York City Pokemon Center event, available only for players who took their Game Boys loaded with Fire Red and Leaf Green between December 6, 2004 and January 2, 2005, changing competitive Pokemon's history forever. This event was incredibly hard to access, as it lasted only 2 weeks during a time of the year where many Pokemon traders are busy visiting their families for holidays and could only be obtained in only one place in the world. The Wish Chansey event is also hilarious because Game Freak probably chose Chansey as one of the receivers of Wish because it healed other Pokemon in the anime, and this was their way of giving a symbolic blessing to the part of the player base that was able to obtain the event. This blessing, however, quickly became a curse to competitive Pokemon's history. Although at the time of its release, competitive Pokemon was dormant in the offline aspect, with tourneys like Journey Across America not even being ideated yet, and the most recent big name competitions having happened generations before in 1998 and 2000 respectively. However, the online Pokemon scene was quickly to take notice. Players realized that Wish on Chansey and subsequently Blissey was really good soon after the event's release, perhaps maybe too good. Wish is a move that calculates how much a Pokemon will be healed on the turn after it is used, based on the original Wish user's base HP at the time. Blissey's maxed HP being 714 stat points meant that almost every Pokemon in the game could receive a brand new life bar by merely switching in. Wish Blissey took over the competitive metagame by storm. Defensive teams, which had historically been dominant already, now seemed unkillable. All the effort and PP it took you to wear down that Skarmory was instantly nullified with just one switch in, as Blissey alley-ooped its stalled teammates with its Wish. The player base was incredibly flustered by the move's addition, and the anger this strategy generated with many aspiring competitive Pokemon enthusiasts did not go unnoticed. For each generation of Pokemon after this, Game Freak tried to amend their mistake in some way, switching to doubles as the official format to avoid long drawn-out battles, having events be accessible so the offline advantage players had from the Chansey event could be mitigated, having offline-only events be absolutely worthless but adorable, like the introduction of the moves like Celebrate or Hold Hands, and even going so far as to get rid of the legacy event moves in a Pokemon's movesets in Generations 8 and 9. Game Freak could have never imagined the incredibly deep impact that a Q event from 2004's Winter was going to have on the rest of history. The move even generated a lot of debate within the player base. Should event moves be allowed online without proof of ownership? Should they be allowed at all? How does an event move being so centralized in a metagame affect offline competitive competition? Are people incentivized to hack in order to compete? These are all questions that were asked then, and some to this day are still asked now. Although there was much debate about the ethics and politics associated with event moves, one thing is clear. Wish Blissey was an absolutely dominant force, not only in the generation it was introduced, but also in every other one it had access to the move. Blissey remained OU and UU from generations 3 to 8, and when it was UU, it was because Chansey was OU as its defensive profile with Eviolite suited it better. Chansey and Blissey even became the premier specially defensive walls in every Uber's metagame in those generations as well, tanking the strongest special attack moves that Game Freak could attach to literal gods and kaijus like it meant nothing. For your Choice Scarf Kyogre, that water spout might have been the most important moment in its life, but for Wish Blissey, it was just another Tuesday. There has never been an event move this impactful, and there will likely never be another one like it. And thank you so much to our Platinum patrons. Thank you to Amphozenus, Alex Sable, Anthony Belval Renault, Bingleton, Daniel Isbeast, Corman, Eric Dissing, Funky, Glitcherton, Howl, Jack G, King Yabber, Nightfall, Megamon VGC, Mojo Gameslayer, Nurse Jake, Pretzel SP, Soljiro Sakura, Spavoon, Gylaria, Soros and Croxen, Shiwei Miji, Stoneface Colin, Kiboflu, Wardine, for their major support of our videos.